Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk. This is episode 49 of your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I am one of four hosts. My name is Zoinks, and I am, of course, joined by Dupesnax, Lazadin, and Ender. What is up, everybody? How's everyone doing tonight?
Not bad. Just got done with the tournament.
Nice. And how did it go? Yeah.
Not bad. We won.
Good. Love to hear that.
We didn't lose is the most important part.
We didn't lose.
Oof. If that, yeah, I mean, that seems like a tough onus to put upon yourself. If that is your only key to victory. But hey, congratulations on, of course, winning Mayhem week number 3, season 2. I'm excited to watch your team play tomorrow for the finals. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll follow up on all that information later, Ender. Do not worry. Dupesnax, how has your week been?
It's been good, man. Lots of work. Yes. Work like work, not like fun work stuff like for Unite Mics. Sure. But look, we got two nights of Unite Mics Mayhem, one in the bag. We're doing this cast. We've got tomorrow night. I mean, it's a good week. It's holiday week too. I'm gonna see the family this weekend. I could spend a longer yarn, but I'm not going to. Let's get into some UCS.
Yeah, for sure. Lazadin, I got to check in with you too, though. How is your week?
Oh, it's been super, super busy. Really? Both just like trying to find a part-time job for the season, and then also tons of team stuff, tons of meetings, trying to get all the projects done.
Well, that sounds like fun work. I don't want to put words in your mouth, though, but that if you're doing team stuff, that does sound exciting to me, in my opinion. But I hope you were able to find some enjoyment of it. When it comes to Unite, though, it was a busy week for this game as well, at least in terms of announcements. I guess it's all future things to come. We've had a lot of exciting things told to us that we can look forward to. This show's going to cover as much of it as we can in this podcast episode. We're, of course, going to talk about the announcement for Unite Championship Series. We finally got the announcement for how North America, Europe, LATAM, all of that is going to look. I believe we have some information on how APAC is going to look as well, and then we are going to talk about the recent changes that are on the public test server, and then we'll round it out talking a little bit about the Japan tournament or the Asia Champions League that we discussed last episode, how that's looked so far, what we think of the compositions, everything we've seen. We're going to talk about it all, so definitely look forward to it. Let's kick things off, though. Unite Championship Series has been announced. New regions, way more teams for season number 2, more tournaments, potentially in-person events for some regions. There's a lot to look forward to, but just first off, face value, initial reactions, what are we thinking? Ender, let's start with you.
Everything seems really, really positive to me. They increased the number of teams showing up at Worlds, which means more slots for the more popular regions. All the regions got a boost, which, it felt bad for a lot of regions, like OC only getting one, and then, NA getting two, obviously, didn't feel great either, but that feels good. The point system mattering, like, I think they took a lot of feedback to heart. They went back to their drawing board, and they actually implemented things within a year, which is, impressive. They could have waited till, the 3 years gone by and not done any changes, but it shows that they're listening to their community, which is really important to me.
Yeah. Oh, I think you were echoing a lot of the community sentiments when you're saying that, for sure. Dupesnax, how are you feeling about all these announcements we've had flooding from the United Sports Twitter?
Yeah, I love it. Just like Ender, it really feels like the voices have been heard. A lot of good applications have been put into place, of course. there is some foggy mist ahead that needs to be sorted out. When you do non-paid invites, last year, yes, it was 16 teams, but all of them got some stipends to travel. When you do have more teams, but you don't provide stipends, and it's fairly expensive for a lot of these teams to travel across the world to get to Japan. Not that it's not, when any time Pokemon Worlds has been held in the United States as compared to, other places in the world, without a doubt. I'm not trying to cut it that way. I'm just saying, you're bringing a squad of 5 now. So I'm hoping this comes in tandem with the ability to have orgs be a little bit more prominently displayed, so they feel like there's a reason to put more money into teams to help financially stabilize some of those teams that might be qualified or qualify, but might be on the outside looking in financially.
Yeah, we're gonna have to discuss that for sure as well. Final, Lazenin, how about you? Initial reactions to all of this news?
So yeah, a couple things. One, 100% agree. Everything's a huge positive. I do find it weird that the specific amount of teams that they in, like, the amount of teams is 31, and the amount of teams with the travel award is 15.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me feel like there's something special for that 32nd slot. I don't know anything for the record.
Okay.
but like, and like, there's obviously speculation you could do about that. Either they like, maybe they're adding another region, maybe they're reinviting, like maybe they're just direct inviting us. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that is just a definitely a really odd number to leave it at.
Yeah.
And then the other major thing that I don't see a lot of people talking about is the time difference between the qualifiers and the finals. Now, last week you were usually qualifier week off final, right?
Yes. Yeah. You had a 2 week break. Mm hmm.
Nowadays, if you look at the schedule now, it's qualifier final, qualifier final, qualifier final, which I think is absolutely huge. It gives you less time to prepare and practice, sure, but it also gives you more time between one final and the next qualifier to get things back in order if anything happens.
Mm-hmm.
And for well, I mean, like, you know, we're all at NA, we all know the inevitable roster shuffles every every monthly final. So some of that will happen. Will be sort of that more quick. I think that is a net positive.
Yeah, I think it is a net positive as well. Obviously, I'm super excited about it. The thing I'm excited about is just more tournaments too. I believe we have more tournaments in this season than we did the previous season. So if I'm not misremembering, I think I'm right on that though, right? Because now we have AOS Cup and April Cup. Which is different. So one more tournament, I guess. But still, one extra tournament makes sense to me, especially with the new introduction of the top championship points result is going to get an invite to the World Championships in every region. So just getting more opportunities for people to farm up championship points is going to be a big, big deal. So I'm excited about that. Well, we have a lot to go over. I'm just going to jump onto the actual website itself on stream and just look at the qualifying example. But the first note that I just mentioned, teams with the most CP within their regional zone at the end of the qualification season will earn an invite to Worlds. Additionally, the team that wins the regional finals in each region will earn an invite to Worlds. So we have a guaranteed regional winner as well as CP. I think this was at the top of a lot of people's lists for changes into season two. We wanted some kind of worthwhileness for even having CP. Do we think that this delivered on it? Is this enough?
Certainly great out of the gate. You know, that's the kind of the two ways to qualify. But of course, you know, North America getting four slots, you know, how do you fill those other ones out? Is it going to go the CP route, which is kind of what I like, that kind of makes sense to me. You know, you have your top three CP teams and then whoever spikes the last event as kind of a like a LCQ type situation. That makes sense to me. But all that being said, great change. Love seeing the CP mattering. That's something that everybody was very confused about, season one, including myself. I could never really pin down why it was important outside of seeding. And the fact that you're accruing all of these points and teams that were sticking together weren't necessarily being rewarded for that is, of course, a bummer. So I'm glad that this change has been made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody else? Do we think this is enough in the realm of CP edition?
I think that, one, they really should clarify like what exactly that means.
Mm-hmm.
Because the wording on the page is teams get invited from CP, and team singular gets invited from winning regionals.
Mm-hmm.
So the logic in my head would be three from CP, one from for regionals from NA, for example,
right.
Or like, you know, 2-1 for the three team regions and 1-1 for the two team regions.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think we should get clarification on that. And I personally didn't find the CP issue that bad last year. Like, okay. I thought that the teams that were the best at the end of the season, getting into Worlds was fine. But I can definitely understand the frustrations with it, and I don't think... I think it's like this system's like a slight upgrade. I don't think it's that big of a deal, though.
Hmm. Okay, cool. Ender, any thoughts on it? Is it a solid thing? Is it not?
I think it's great. I mean, I think you should definitely reward teams that look to stay together and that are consistently successful. I also think the team that's the best at the end of the tournament or at the end towards the end of the season should also go no matter what. So I think this is like a happy medium where we get consistency is paid off, being the best towards the end of the season pays off. And then there's just more overall teams, which I think is nice, you know, gets more people involved, more incentive for teams to feel like they should try. You know, maybe teams might not have felt confident being the first or second seed from a lot of the bigger regions, but a lot of teams can now, you know, confidently gun for that third or fourth, or you know, even etch to see themselves, you know, in the first or second spot.
Just
back a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
I actually don't think that this provides that much incentive to stay together. I actually think the opposite. I think that if you're someone who's looking at this as a someone who doesn't really have a hard dedication to a team, like if you don't have a contract or something, your optimal route is playing to get the highest placement possible each month and then trying to form CP Titans at the end of the year.
Sure.
If
With
we're going with
only
the
one
usual.
team, you're saying in the case where the regional champion goes and then three teams of highest CP go to Worlds. Okay, Then absolutely, you're right. Then three teams of CP Titans will go. I see what you're saying.
So
Well,
like
one way
there's
to do
that.
that is to just win, you know, with one team consistently, right?
Sure. But
So
I do
I
think that
disagree. Not that I disagree with your point. The point that you're making makes sense, very much so. My heart of hearts tells me they're going to do something in the rules that haven't been released yet that prevents that specific thing from happening
Fair enough.
in some way. I think it's going to be mitigated because that was my gut reaction first, to the point where I was like, well, you really need to, first off, it's horrible for to it's horrible to get it's on, okay, on so many axes, is not regulating this a horrible thing? You can't get money into the game. Which, if this is truly trying to be an esport, you need to be able to incentivize third-party organizations to put money into teams to qualify for this and make it a bigger deal. That's how you get the ball rolling. If teams that are together all year get blown out by some super team that's amalgamated in the last week, that's a horrible way to scare away potential sponsors of teams and people that want to invest into putting money into the tournament seed itself or stuff like that. So I think you're 100% right, but I can't allow myself to not believe that they won't mitigate that in some way.
Well,
That's fair.
yeah, you're right, Duzex, but I've always been this voice when you bring this up because I know it's something you're very passionate about. Is that's just this is how smaller esports that have circuits are. Like I've been in a lot of other scenes for a long time. Call of Duty is this exact same way, right? Like this is it always is going to happen. The only real tool that we have to combat this is whatever you lock in for regionals is what you have. Like that is what you're stuck with. You can't make a change after regionals to try to bump up in CP. That final tournament is what we are looking at, and that is what whatever players you lock into regionals, that's what you're moving in with.
I think that is probably going to happen because that's what happened last year.
Oh, it is what's here. It says it right here right now. So teams that qualify for the world championships from the regional championships must maintain the same 5-player roster as was used to earn their invitation. I would imagine, of course, that is going to apply to all four seeds that go. But
But in some ways, if you think about it, like IX in many ways was that exact scenario, right?
That is very true. That is very true. Okay, well, so we talked about the seeding of CP. You're right. We still don't technically know how the we know how two of the teams make it. We don't know how those other two make it in certain regions. So that'll be something that we have to keep on the lookout for, maybe poke some people to try to figure out. Let's talk about number of teams though. And for that, I'm actually going to jump over to the Japanese website that has the details. It seems like they have every single region listed here. So let's take a look at it. Let's scroll down past the east just to look at the regions closest to us first. Brazil having three total seeds going, Europe having, or sorry, not three total, Brazil having two, Europe having four, Latin America North having three, Latin America South having two, North America having four, and Oceania having two. The way they have done this format in the above as well is that number in the parentheses beside it is how many teams get the travel reward for Worlds. But not so just saying that not all teams are going to get that travel reward. Specifically, that we'll talk about the main major ones, North America having four invites, but only two travel rewards, and same for Europe. How do we feel about this? Personally, for me, it feels like a bit of a bummer. Really wish that we were getting travel rewards delegated to the entire invites, but how are we feeling across the board?
Pretty happy with it. The way I look at it is, would I rather have half the teams and everyone gets travel stipends, or double the teams and that original half gets it, right? Like, if this is what we needed to get, you know, double the teams, it's gonna, I can see a lot of situations where, you know, money can be an issue, and that'll really suck if it does come down to that.
Right.
But the best that I think we can, I think I'm happy with this as a potential medium. And if we can get more organizations involved into the esports of Pokemon Unite by being, you know, by having some support from TPCI or Esports Engine, whoever it might be, those organizations might feel incentivized to be like, oh, okay, a team qualified for Worlds, why don't we, you know, pay for their travel to have our, you know, organization listed at a Pokemon Worlds event? Like, that's a big deal for a lot of, you know, tier two organizations to be at Pokemon Worlds. But and knowing this firsthand, talking to sponsors, like, that one of the things that keeps them away is, you know, they want to have open communication with TPCI, and, you know, that, you know, historically, be up before Unite, has, you know, been an issue with Nintendo based games. So I think if we can get some support, you know, I don't think this would be an issue long term, but it will suck if it comes down to that.
Yeah, I actually wholehearted agree with you, Inder, on your first note that you were saying about how I, like, even if we can't get travel rewards for everybody, which is perfect scenario, this is my this is the second ideal scenario I have. Better cast that net wider. Yes, it may be unfortunate for some teams, but I would rather invite more teams and have to deal with it if this is what we have to do. Yes, this is my preferred path forward. Lazarin, I cut you off though. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, I was gonna say, oh boy, Indy, are you preaching to the choir?
Okay.
as someone who has been helping our manager actively look for sponsorships, yes, it is definitely a deterrent. Sure. But yeah, no, I totally agree though. I think that it's better we get more teams, and I have the feeling that if they're not going to pay for your travel, they're probably going to let you play from home. That is not explicitly there, but that would make sense to me.
Interesting. Really? Because that didn't happen that last year.
I don't see them allowing teams playing from home.
I personally see it, but there's some weird wording on the website that also maybe
I mean, it's technically potentially an option. So it's technically potentially an option. You are
this right. Page has been edited since I last looked at it. Interesting.
Okay, well, we'll have to talk about that in a sec.
They need to be proctored in some kind of way, like, forget ping and everything. I feel like an event like this would have to be proctored, and that being online, there's just too many opportunities to cheat.
Yeah, many times have we heard the, well, we pulled out the internet cable, and we disconnect, restart.
Yeah, for sure. There used to be another note under the One Travel Awards thing that made me think that, and the fact that it's gone, I no longer think that. All right, anyway, opinion changed. But yeah, I definitely agree, especially like with a lot of these regions. Like, for example, the Brazil number 2 seed, I remember watching them last year, and them and Zeus were like neck and neck to the very end. Like, those were very, very close finals. Like, there were multiple cases like that where
Central
there were,
America
like, one
was
team.
The same, I thought. Like, Stamina versus, I forget their opponents, but like, they were, I was even getting messages from like about like what the casters were saying in Portuguese at the time, was saying they're like, they like all season long have been like contesting like back and forth. This was the final, you know, decider, which I thought was really cool.
Yep. It gives you more chances to get the best possible teams on the stage, and I think that is always the positive.
True. Dubsnax, you kind of already said your thoughts on it before, but any more thoughts you want to give towards travel rewards not going to every single invitational seed?
Yeah, I just agree. I'd rather have more teams and miss some because they don't have a travel award and that financial thing becomes a concern than have less and everybody's guaranteed. Of course, like you said, cast a wider net. Always, it just jives with me. So Yeah, I'm good with it. I'm good
Okay.
with it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, again, I thought perfect scenario. Everyone gets the bait invite. That's what I would like, but I understand outside of that. Okay, let's talk just about sheer numbers, though. We talked about invitationals, numbers. We are going up. Currently, we have 31 announced invited teams. Yes, that is a very weird number. We have talked about on Twitter. I've seen a lot of discussion about how that 32nd team will be decided. Some people are saying, I think it could just be like a safety spot for a new region. Personally, I think it would be sick if there was an LCQ. I think that would be so fun. LCQ teams historically don't go very far at all. I just think it'd be a really fun extra little event. But and yeah, I'm seeing chat say caster team. Oof. Deuce and I would be the absolute weights upon the ankles of anyone else, so I don't know. But yeah, Gamet, not super fan of LCQ. But anyway, that is the any crazy theories about what that 32nd spot is for?
Well, last year we didn't have all the regions right away.
Yeah, India was a late
And
add.
India was a late add. So, I mean, I've seen some regions speak up, like for example, the Africa region. There's teams and tournaments happening there, and they're asking for a spot. So maybe they left it open to see where they can, build the infrastructure to, develop a spot for, because it's not going to happen. They might just need more time. But an LCQ would be cool. I also think they could just, if they don't find anything, they could add it on. I mean, APAC has six across East and West, and Latin America has five. There's 3 and 2. They could bump that up to 3 and 3, or they'll find a spot for it. I'm not. I think they're just waiting out to see what options they can come forward with and the best possible solution.
All right, so
It
not an
is.
LCQ believer. Okay,
Yeah,
interesting.
it is worth noting that it is explicitly, or like not explicitly, but like based on the current distribution, it is most likely one of those travel award slots, right?
What do
I'd
you
imagine
mean?
they're giving like because there's 15, there's 31 listed, 15 travel awards.
Okay.
So there's 16 non-travel, 15 travel. I'd assume like it just makes sense to me that they do the same amount of travel awards as last year. So the 16th spot would probably be a travel award.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Understood.
So I don't think it's very likely to get tacked onto a region like just generally. But I do think that, yeah, it could be like, for example, I don't know if Vietnam is allowed to compete in APAC. I've heard conflicting things on that for people in that region.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I don't like again, I don't know 100% for sure.
Got it.
But then there's also like, there's parts of Africa. Actually, I think all of Africa.
This is a far, far shout. Could they be holding off for a potential China invite if the game gets approved into China?
Why on earth would they only hold one?
Yeah, no, that is a very, very good point, Lazadin. Yeah, they would make room for China invite, I think, if that was a possibility.
There's a China invite. They just increased it to 48. Holy cow.
Yeah, that is very true. Dude, the mobile gaming scene, man, yeah, United is just literally, I assume, knocking on the door every single day, be like, are we in yet? Please? Yeah, that's got to be quick. No, I think your point about wanting to have a return to 16 travel awards makes sense to me, especially just because a lot of things have stayed the same. Prize pool has stayed the same as last year, specifically for Worlds. So could just be another same as before kind of situation. But doubling the teams, obviously, that is a big thing. 31 so far, we kind of all assume it's going to be 32. I'm stoked. I'm stoked that we're having 32 invites. I really hope we get 32 teams in Yokohama. But I think it'll be super exciting. More teams to play is going to give us more chances to see multiple play styles. I said on Twitter that I'm specifically excited for some regions for this factor. Europe is my personal pick. I think the top teams in Europe play very differently from each other. Having four teams is going to be super cool. See a bit more variety coming out of Europe, but I think it's great. I'm very excited about how many teams we have entering in. Any thoughts on just the sheer number of teams we have showing up in force?
Gonna warrant, I think, an extra day for the events, right?
Oh, please. Yes.
I don't know how they would cram this into 2 days.
No shot, yeah.
They,
Yeah,
oh
sounds
my gosh, they
entirely
better not.
reasonable.
Yes, it'll be a long, long 2 days if that is the case.
I mean, VGC is what, 3 or 4 days?
BCG is 3 days. VGC is 3 days.
Okay.
But the last,
TCG
but the
is
last.
4, isn't it? I thought TCG was 4. Oh, I cut you off right before you were about to explain what I was thinking of.
Yeah, and then the last added on day is just the finals.
The finals of each game. Yeah, so
Correct.
and TCG and VGC both split their game into age ranges. So they have junior, senior, and master, and they have the championship game for trading card game and video game for each of that age range just on the final day, which is kind of cool. How would we feel about having the finals for Unite as its own individual event on the final day? Would you be yay or nay against that?
I mean, you just do top four, no?
Well, sure, that is an option, but that's not the same as the other game, so I don't know if that would be possible. If it is, yeah, cool.
We don't have three divisions, so that's what I'm saying. Like,
Interesting. Yeah, okay.
right.
yeah.
And Pokemon Go didn't do that last year either, so we would probably be in that same camp as them. But okay, interesting.
I think maybe setting maybe up the last day similar to kind of what they do for what we've been doing for like EOS Cup and stuff, which is it's like, winners finals, losers semifinals, losers finals, grand finals type. Maybe not that much, but maybe like two of those or something like that. Maybe like losers finals and then grand finals to have just kind of a more robust opportunity to time stamp outside of the other games to increase like viewership, for example,
Sure.
I think would be pretty cool. So just thinking out loud.
Yeah, I think top four. So basically you're suggesting top four just like Lazen. I think that's a really good idea. Ender, how about you? How would you feel about let's first give me your thoughts on finals, like the final grand finals being on its own game on one day, or top four being on its own one day.
Feel like it would definitely build more hype if people got to go home, think about the teams that are going to be in the finals, and that being, the
Yes.
final, of the entire season. But at the same time, I also remember, and you guys would know this firsthand, how many issues there seem to be having all the events run parallel. So maybe having, all the finals not be on the same day might be better. If they use the fourth day for the finals, maybe we use the third for, lower
Right.
bracket finals and finals or something like that. What I feel like I read through the announcement and they made it seem like the invited teams are going to have some kind of difference in the brackets as well. Like maybe
Interesting.
the travel stipend teams are
You're
gonna
referring to
skip
the
a group
thing that I also
stage,
saw, Indy.
which
That's
might be
no longer
gone
on the
now.
page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they made it seem like the teams that are getting the travel bonus are gonna like skip a group stage or something,
Oh,
and
interesting.
they'll be seeded in, and then the group stage from the day one teams, maybe not all of them make it through, and
Okay.
then it might have been something like that. But yeah, I think it's not on the page anymore, so
I
we'll see.
assume at the very least the stipend teams are going to be seeded higher,
Yeah.
and seeded against teams that did not get that same award is going to be make the most sense to me because it'll be the teams that performed better. But yeah, we'll have more to talk about there.
Please don't just change half my group last second again. Thank you.
There's a few people who share the same sentiment as you, for sure. Yeah, that'll have to be something we discuss as well. Okay, yeah, I think number of teams increasing is awesome. One thing I wanted to mention shortly here, which I don't know if anyone of us have too many thoughts on it, because none of us are there, but Latin America going to just I guess three regions now, and kind of cutting out Central America, including it in Latin America North. I've seen very positive responses on Twitter about this from players from that region, which is awesome. I wasn't sure what that would be, but I know that a few teams got hit really hard with Mexico getting cut out of the Central America squads. And they had to like they got their players displaced from them basically and weren't able to play on the same team anymore. I know Stamina got hit by that. I know a couple of teams otherwise got hit by that. So Latin America being north and south and getting 3 and 2 number of slots, I think is super exciting, and that's awesome to hear that the players are finding that as a positive too. Jam. Like I said, didn't think we'd have many thoughts on that. Let's cruise on down. Series tournament schedule. Things are looking very similar. Lassinen, you mentioned at the top of the show, we now have no kind of week off between the tournaments. We are just running it back immediately. Open qualifiers, double elimination into monthly finals. Double elimination is going to be the same again, but just 1 week apart now. Lassinen, you said this was super positive. Inder and Dupesnax, how are you feeling about this more rapid schedule?
It's got to be good. I think it's weird for both players and viewers to see teams qualify under one patch and then have to play the tournament for that tournament that was qualified on a different patch. It just that's weird. And, and you also just had less time to prepare for, for everyone involved.
You don't want another Chaos Cup situation.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, no. No, nobody does, except maybe one team. It is. It's a packed schedule. Like I said, we're fitting in another tournament basically in the same time frame as we did have, for like the same time frame as last season. So it was definitely packed. It was a tournament on my birthday, March Finals, March 11th. Shout out. Very excited for that one. Oh, Otter. No, I didn't mean to call you out individually. It's gonna be a fun schedule. Things are packed in there. They talked about the monthly finals. I think it's the same format as last time, right? Same amount of teams make it to the finals as last year?
I believe so. Determined.
Nothing was said about it, I think. I don't see any indicator one way or the other.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I saw something about it before. That's why I mentioned it, but I guess I maybe I was just misreading something somewhere. But all right, no worries. We can keep on cruising.
We'll probably find out in a month or so.
Let's talk about another big thing that was introduced is the idea of in-person, and they said invitational events. I'm assuming what they meant by in-person invitational events is that they'll potentially give travel stipends for teams that are attending these. I do not know that for sure. Cannot guarantee that whatsoever. But the odds are that we are having in-person events probably around EOS Cup and Regional Champions Cup. Does anyone, one, have any more information on that? And any any thoughts on that in a second? Lassinen, do you have any details on that? It's basically
okay.
What I'm asking.
So... I am trying to filter through the information in my head and see what I can say.
No, break contract. That's fine. That's fine with me.
Breaking contract is a great idea. I agree.
Okay. No worries. All right, you think on it.
No, I figured it out.
Okay.
So the most obvious indicator to me is the fact that EU has their AOS Cup separated and NA has the regional separated.
Right.
From the other regions, right? That, to me, tells that each one of the regions is getting one in-person event. That is what makes sense to me.
Interesting. So you think that each region is going to get one in-person event. Okay,
yeah,
I'm following.
Either that or two, and they just haven't found a proper one for NA yet, and they couldn't find one in EU for that weekend. Right?
Okay.
Those are the two things that make sense to me. I have provided them feedback that I think that, like, I've told them this before, I think it was an excellent idea. It is going to be rough if there are not travel stipends to justify it.
Sure.
Because even, like, even in-region travel is very expensive.
Mm-hmm. For some countries, yes.
Yeah, for some countries. But even, like, the U.S., right? It's not... It's pretty expensive, and
well,
we're lucky
US,
in that.
The U.S. is the most egregious.
I was going to say, it might be the biggest offender, actually. So big.
Well, yeah, and also, like, some regions, you're going across, like, country lines. I don't know how bad that would be for Latin America. Like, I don't know how bad it is to travel between there. Europe, I know it's relatively easy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's a lot of, like, question marks like that that make you wonder, if they are providing travel stipends, great. All the problems are just solved. Not all the problems. There's still visa issues in the Latin regions, but whatever.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But if they don't provide the travel stipends, then there might be some issues. We'll have to see.
Yeah. Okay. Agreed. Ender, any thoughts on in-person events before the World Championships? Probably AOS and Regionals would be our biggest chances at having them. They did say they're coming. We just don't know when and where. But thoughts on in-person events? Ender?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think it's really positive. If they can have something similar to how they have it for Worlds, maybe there's certain teams, some like half the teams get a travel stipend and the other don't. Or if they can fully cover it, I think that would be ideal. I think they might elect to just not have it in person if they can't figure out a way to have the travel stipends covered, which, you know, would be how it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I remember the Latin America regions having studios for their casting versus the NA and, you know, you guys being in your own studios or in your own locations, right?
Oh, that's so kind of you to call them studios. Yeah. That's so kind of you.
Right? So, you know, maybe both regions might repeat in that way, or they're, you know, I feel like with a lot of this, it's just up in the air. And it's vague because they're buying time and they need to, you know, figure out what they can slot in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's only positive, though, that if they're willing to dip into in-person events. Okay. I think it's good for the game.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. Deuce next.
Yeah, I would love in-person events. Logistically, obviously, there's a lot of questions that need to be asked. And I'm sure they're thinking through those right now. However, that still sounds awesome to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My assumptions have been in-person events will, specifically in North America and EU, where what I was thinking of would be in tandem with the IC events, the international championships, specifically regionals, for the other games by Pokemon. So for VGC, for TCG, all of those kind of things, then we'd be working in tandem again. It makes sense to me. That being said, I know that Unite is run, but like their production is all run by Esports Engine and everything. So technically, it doesn't have to be in tandem with one of those events because they're run by a different production company. So it could be either or. If you had to choose, would you like our regionals to be their own separate event, or would you like the bigger camaraderie of joining the other Pokemon events and kind of being a part of, you know, international championships of Pokemon, which end up being like sort of mini conventions with a very competitive focus? Thoughts on that? Anybody, any inputs there?
I'd like for it to be a part of the Pokemon ecosystem. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like it'd bring fresh eyes to Unite, which is nice. And
yes,
it would feel, I think it'd feel nice to be included. I don't feel any reason to be separate from the other Pokemon competitions.
Cool. Lazarus?
Yeah. I think if you look at the dates, it just makes sense to align them. And from a marketing perspective, it just makes sense to align them.
Mm-hmm.
Although as someone who is probably going to be traveling to the NA regional one, I wish they didn't align them because it'll make all the travel more expensive.
That is true. Yeah. I
don't, I'm not going to get stipend. That's just never happening.
Right. Yeah. That is true. That is a good point. I was thinking along those lines of if we were going to have a separate event, getting like butts and seats for, you know, audience would be a little tougher. Like it just to be a really small venue, I think, if that was the case, if we were to have a separate event. But Deuce next, would you rather be a part of the larger Pokemon ecosystem if we were to do AOS and regional in person, or would you rather have our own event space?
Yeah, as somebody that has been to a couple ICs, I just love that atmosphere, the energy, getting stitching, like Indy said, helps get more eyes on the product. You know, everybody that's there is a Pokemon lover. So, you know, you might not get more players, but you'll certainly get more viewers. People asking, hey, what is this? Getting interested in that event. So, yeah, I'm for it.
Okay.
By the way, to make it clear, I was 100% joking. It is a total positive. I'm not actually being a cheapskate.
Okay. All right, sure. Whatever you say. Walking it back however much you want doesn't change the fact. Okay, fantastic. Well, we have the word on regional events, all positives from the four of us, I think. I think it's pretty mm-hmm. tough to look at some of this with too much of a skeptic's eye. I mean, obviously, we've all said there are aspects of it that really need to be ironed out, but nothing is set in stone so far from any of these announcements. They have room to work with still, which is exciting. Last note, prize pools sticking the same across the board. I'm not too worried about that, mostly because I thought it was a pretty huge prize pool for a year number one, compared to other first-year esports, especially within a Pokemon sphere. So I was pretty excited. I don't think that changes any, like, big thoughts on prize pools from my other three hosts here.
More is always better, sure, obviously, but you know, I at least it's as much as it was last year, and I agree. I mean, it seemed reasonable for last year, mm-hmm. but you know, as I think, you know, there's more room to grow, and I'm happy to see that take place, but more is always better.
Yeah, sure. All right, well, agreed. Dude's next lesson, any thoughts on prize pool?
That's an easy one. More is better, just like Indy said. Sure. I mean, in terms of the games that show up at Worlds, it is the most financially supported. So,
yeah, we got that.
it's really too hard to throw too many stakes into it. So we'll leave it as this.
Yeah.
You're playing the Would You Rather game, right? It's like, would you rather have the winner of Worlds get $1 million or would you rather have two more in-person events? Right.
We're not in charge of making those decisions. I'm in charge of telling them I want more. But yes, you are correct. It is a little bit of a would you rather situation.
No, like what those things look like monetarily. I have no idea what the budget for one singular in-person event is. Mm. I can't imagine it's particularly low. So I can, like, that's probably where most of the budget went for this year. I can imagine it went up pretty significantly with the increase in-person events.
It's true. All right, last thing on the world slots. Who got the biggest, which region got the biggest buff by getting four total slots, or getting more slots? Who got crazy gifted by getting this many? Korea staying at two, I think, is, like, pretty interesting. I mean, it makes sense. I don't think they even had a full, like, regional finals, like a full 16 teams, like those pretty low attendance records, so that staying the same makes sense to me. APAC being split but then going to a total of six slots, I think, is a huge jump. But I don't know, shout out I guess. All the power. Yeah,
APAC's
but
a region full of absolute monsters. Like, there are so many, like, even teams that might, like, because the thing that's really interesting about having more slots, right, is sometimes there are teams who just won't qualify because the meta is bad for them, mm-hmm. that would have done well at Worlds, right?
Sure.
So you have more chances of that happening, where, like, a fourth or fifth APAC team that's really hyper-specialized into one style that was terrible at their regional final, but then is amazing at Worlds, just could wow us out of nowhere. So true. I think definitely that region got a lot from it. Obviously, you know, American bias here,
sure.
But I do think that our regionals last year were among the most competitive. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a good indicator that ours will be, or like, we'll get a fairly substantial buff from that. Although Japan was too, outside of the one extremely strong team that just got diffed by their alarm clock, unlucky.
It happens everywhere, folks. It's a global phenomenon. It will continue.
But, like, they had a third very, very strong team that just didn't get to go. And if they went, then I think things would have been very different instead of their second, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
I mean, everybody else had the same ship.
Agreed. Yep. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I'm excited to see that. I'm excited for Worlds, obviously. We got a long road to get there. A lot of good tournaments. Yeah, I tweeted out how many teams from NA are getting alarm clock dipped this time. We added a whole new tournament and in-person events. I don't know. It's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask of NA players, okay? I'm just saying. Might be a slight nerf on our end as well.
At least if you're in person, you have the good old air horn.
Yes, absolutely. Hire a team manager and you don't need to pay them with anything except give them an air horn. That is your that is going to be your main thing. Okay, last thing.
No,
I want
to
mention,
you're not allowed to pay me just with an air horn.
Okay,
I'm talking to you, Blackhead.
All right, fair enough. Okay, last thing I wanted to mention before we moved on is competition format. This is telling me nothing on this, however, I wanted to discuss. We know that both TPCI and TPC are actively testing the in-game draft mode via communities and just via their own tournaments they are running. So we know that draft mode is on the docket and will most likely be the format that we see happen in season number 2, if it is ready, hopefully. But it seems like they are actively testing and working on it to be doing so. There have been questions, though, in other aspects of the game about what will make it in, namely emblems being utilized in-game. Do we think emblems will see play in season number 2 of Pokemon Unite Championship Series?
Well, we saw it during the Winter Championships.
Yeah, we did.
Emblems were allowed, and I confirmed with one of the players that they had to use the emblems that were on their account. So if you're missing emblems, you don't have them all the gold. That's what the situation was. So being an official event definitely is, I think, my priority feedback as a competitor, that that's not a format that we can support. Whether or not the emblem difference is big enough to justify it or not, like, it is, right? Like, any minor difference is going to make a difference. And it's also just not good publicity. Like, no competitor from another esport is going to want to hear that there's a game out there where you're competing with stuff that's reliant on RNG for you to unlock, and money in some cases.
Right. Yeah. Money to spend on potentially getting it.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a huge concern. Kind of wild that there's no, I mean, if they already have tourney mode to set all held items to level 30, it's pretty strange that there's not also a switch for unlock all emblems in this mode. However, that is just going to increase a lot of lobby building time on emblems, because there's a lot of different variations. Lazadin, you have been deep in the emblem, learning pool, so I'm sure you know a lot about this. But Dubs, next, I want your thoughts on this before I jump to our resident stats goblin of Lazadin. Talk to me about how you feel about emblems in competitive Unite, and if they should show their face in season number 2.
I muted my mic, apologize. Right off the rip, they either need to all be available to every single person, or they need to be removed. That's just how it needs to be for fairness across the board. That's what the business is. You can't just have everybody going in with different stuff. That's just not fair. Yeah. Especially because there's a monetary tilt to it. That's not good.
It's a little cringe, I will say.
As the kids say.
Yeah. I'm so hip. Lassen, where are you at on the emblem discussion?
All right. So two things. One, a part of the tournament, like a part of the winter tourney that I thought definitely had an impact. Like, I can't 100% say for sure, because I don't know everybody's items levels. But the fact that you're not in tournament mode means that not only are emblems on, your item levels are not 30. So what? If you do not have an account that is all 30, you are screwed.
Oh, because they're not using tournament mode in those settings.
They weren't using tournament. Yes, they were not using tournament mode. They were using custom mode. You can check them out.
Because that's the only way to add emblems in, right?
Understand. Yep. Which means that their items were not 30. That could have had a different. There's a couple of moments where I actually joked about either emblem diff or item diff in the games. I saw a Scyther survive on what had to be like 7 HP at one point. And it's like, you don't want that in the back of your head, you know?
Oh, no. No. Not when there's a price tag on the Twitter, on the tweet that they're going to make about why they lost that game or not. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a concern.
Like, that's just not a thought you want in the back of your mind. Even, like, HP differences like 100, right? Which are usually visible.
Mm-hmm.
Damage differences like 1 to 2%. All those things add up very, very quickly. And especially the CDR items. Glaceon is an entirely different character with emblems enabled.
It is.
It changes the way you're allowed to build the character in such a significant way that it can like it can multiply your damage output by like easily like 4 or 5% if you have emblems on, which is something that other characters just do not get out of it. Delphox, another big one. Like all the mages get a disproportionate benefit.
Yeah.
All the tankier characters get disproportionate benefit because the HP emblems are just better. Like that kind of thing, right? You start playing this game of, I mean, it was already a problem to begin with, because practicing with one thing on ladder and playing a different game in tourney was already a problem. But now you have the different problem of, well, even if I do get all, even if they implement a UI that allows me to preset all gold emblem pages for just tourney mode, which they would have to make a completely new UI element for that, because there's currently no way in the game to do that.
Right.
Even if they do that, you're still practicing in an entirely different environment, right? And it's not like the item enhancers where you can focus the things that you need. I have no way of getting an emblem that I want. I was missing one of the like core crucial ones for a very long time. Yeah. I barely had enough pink emblems. Spoiler alert, I'm working on a Tenacity project. I only, cool. The day I started the project, got my seventh pink emblem. I couldn't have started the project without that. That's the kind of thing where it's just like, that feels so bad, right?
Yeah.
That's my concern.
Okay, now, we've been talking about emblems a lot, and we don't even know if they're going to be in Season 2, but we do need to talk about this one last thing. Very quick, rapid round. If they were to add tourney mode that has all emblems, everything unlocked, do you want them in Season 2, yay or nay? Ender, yes or no? Want the emblems in? No?
Okay. I don't want them in the game.
Heck yeah. Love to hear it. Tube Snacks?
No. No way.
Awesome. Super excited. Lazadin?
No, I do not.
Oh, fantastic. Well, great. None of us want the emblems. Please get them away. They're interesting, to say the least. But you're right. I think how dramatically they change certain individual Pokemon just makes it just too much to deal with. It is fun to talk about the builds a lot. Make some fun YouTube videos, but I don't know about having them within my competitive environments. But
The specific optimization of them is so like hyper-specific.
Yes.
I got DM'd in the middle of this episode about a difference of 2 AD.
Okay.
And trying to figure out if that was worth it. Like,
probably not. Okay, that is really funny. Let's put a button on the new UCS stuff, because we've been talking almost an hour about just this one topic. Anybody have any last opinions on the initial announcement that we have for Unite Championship Series Season 2?
Overall, fat dubskis.
Individual fat dubskis. Love that. Ender Lazadin, any final words?
Yeah, only.
Oh, you go first.
I think he did. I think he said only positives.
Sorry,
so, yeah.
I cut out. Yeah, but yeah, only positives from here.
Cool.
I'm excited. Okay.
Super excited with what we got. I cannot wait to very thoroughly read the rules when they come out.
Yep, exactly. And they have been known to, obviously, they're knowing that they're listening. A lot of changes coming in that were direct feedback from players and community members. So that is super exciting. Let's end this off with just a quick talk about the PTS, the new stuff we have coming. Well, I guess first, we actually have Dragapult heading into the game, I think later this week. Or next week? I'm getting my dates all confused. So much Unite this week, folks. I'm sorry about that. But Dragapult is entering into the game. A Pokemon I'm pretty psyched about. Another Invis tech, which is, interesting. But another ranged attacker. Another auto attack focused Pokemon. Something I really enjoy playing. So I'm excited to have Dragapult in. Ender or Lazadin, have either of you two got the chance to play around with this Pokemon yet? I don't know if any of us play on PTS at all.
I haven't played on it. I generally stay away from the PTS server. I just don't like having, because it's not actually accessible to people in North America. You have to VPN. So that kind of frustrates me a little bit. But I've seen videos of Dragapult, very exciting for ADC players.
Yeah.
Unique kind of play style, different type of Unite move. Lots of really cool things. We'll just have to see, how it's fine tuned in the end.
Cool. Lazarus?
I learned from the Dodrio incident, I'll call it, that it's really easy to have your first impressions colored by a version of the character that's not fully like realized, right?
True.
So yeah. I tend to stay away from PTS content now.
The Dodrio incident, that's hilarious.
but yeah.
I feel like we keep having those.
Yeah, no kidding. I do like I did take a brief look at their kits. Dragapult, I don't know if I can't imagine it will be too much longer after the new season starts on the 26th. There is a release date, but I don't know if it's a leak. Sometimes it's just one of those things where I just can't remember.
Right. Yeah, 29th is what people are saying for Dragapult's release, so
Okay, I think
sounds
it's
good.
leaked. That's okay. But yeah, so that'll be awesome. Dragapult definitely is a very unique kit. Thankfully, its stealth doesn't last forever. That's a plus. Super excited for those. The PTS changes all look awesome too, but I think we'll talk about those after everybody gets their thoughts on Dragapult, so never mind.
No, that's enough. Let's jump into the next one. How broken is Buzzwole, folks? Let's go. Muscle gauge off wild Pokemon. I feel like I could punch the walls in this game and earn up muscle gauge. Buzzwole mains on top. Get good, kid. Go to the gym or get off Unite. Buzzwole is taking over. GG, folks. GG. Any other thoughts?
Jesus.
Yeah, any other
Yeah,
thoughts on
no, yeah,
Buzzwole?
that's just that the biggest of brains. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, and muscles, obviously. Just in time for him, by the way, crazy strong buff, just in time for him to get that sick looking Neo from the Matrix Holoware that looks like it's coming.
Oh,
Very
Lord.
excited for that.
I'm sure that is just a coincidence.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm gonna buy it twice. Ender, have you seen Buzzwole going absolutely sicko mode in the game recently?
I don't even have to see it to know that Pokemon is going to be ridiculous.
Yes. Yes.
Just, yeah, I mean, I can't. It's going to be absolutely busted. The one thing it was lacking in the early game was a reliable way to build its charge, even throughout the mid game, and they've given that for free. So, I think it'll be an interesting shakeup. We haven't had a Buzzwole meta yet, and we'll see how we react. There's still a lot of good characters. Sableye didn't get hit very hard.
Right.
Or not hard enough. Dodrio still exists.
Yeah.
Blissey's still in the same state, so just more OP characters, it looks like.
All Pokemon
Why is it
seem to
still
me
two and
when
a
I.
half seconds?
Yeah, that is true. All Pokemon are the same to me when I pick them up, look them in the eyes, and then crush them into the ground along with their dreams. So it doesn't matter to me what else got changed. Lazadin, you claimed this Pokemon is the new Thanos of Unite. On what grounds, sir? On what grounds?
The big one is the early game, right? A lot of the problem Buzzwole had was, while it's really good at trading early game, it has really bad secure if you're just trying to rip farm in front of it. So you could kind of play the lane very safe, and you'd usually be fine.
Sure.
Now it has free access to this is not a joke, 1300 damage move with the average build at level 3. Like, there is not a single Pokemon in the game that cannot secure Buzzwole now. Obviously, you can body block it, but who wants to be eating 1300 damage for free at level 3?
Puny nerds who don't go to the gym, that's who.
But yeah, so like, this is an extremely strong Pokemon. In the mid game, it does still have a lot of its weaknesses.
Sure.
Like, it's still very kiteable, very vulnerable to CC, very vulnerable to specifically Blissey. Safeguard is a very powerful move. So, like, I don't think it'll be like supreme ultra OP like some of the previous metas we'd had, but it'll definitely be very strong. And I will add that while this probably is going to get nerfed, I think this is a healthier version of the character to exist. I think that the previous version of Buzzwole was always going to kind of have a problem with this, and giving it the ability to get some of its gauge from relative safety is going to make it feel a lot better to play, even if it's probably overtuned.
All right. Sick. No, I'm good with it. Cool. Yes, thank you. Confirmed date from Unite Twitter, 29th, Dragapult is coming out. Thanks for the help in chat, Plasmer. Cool. Last thing before we start closing up shop on this podcast is they did it. Yumi is Comfy is in Unite. The supporting Pokemon, the Ring of Flowers, is here. I've seen some fun screenshots, but we always do from PTS. Ender, I don't believe you were you on the episode we talked about the leaked data from Comfy?
I think I was not.
Okay.
It was Junkie and
original
Fevi.
user. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Well then, Ender, is the amount of fear I feel for this Pokemon being added well-founded, or do you think it's going to be a little bit overhyped?
I never played League of Legends.
Okay.
Or I did a little bit, but I don't have experience with Yuumi. Seems like a lot of people are worried. Maybe rightfully so. I mean, it's a support Pokemon. I'm going to enjoy it being a support Pokemon, so I'm going to play it. I'm going to enjoy it, trying to see what I can do out of it. But, well, we'll have to see. It has the potential to definitely ruin or, you know, severely alter the way people approach the game.
True.
Around it.
I just can't wait for every support main to do what happened when Yuumi was around and do the road to Masters while playing on two different Switches at the same time. One on Comfy, one on a carry. And then stream your way all the way up. Who knows? It looks like this Pokemon doesn't have exactly as broken of a mechanic, but we'll see. We'll see. Deuce Nex is people's terror, mine included, well-founded, or is it is this not an issue? Does this Pokemon not look as good?
It definitely seems like an issue off the rip.
Okay,
so
good.
We'll wait till see how it susses out after it leads the test server. But yeah. Yep.
Bit of a
yeah.
problem alert. Okay, cool. Has anyone confirmed, by the way, if you can get a 200-point score in Final Stretch if both the person you are attached to has 50 and you have 50? Has anyone confirmed that yet?
That is how the passive reads. I haven't 100% confirmed that.
Okay, so on paper, it's supposed to be a 200-point score. Yes. Double Hundo Burgers. I'm very excited for the double patty. Okay, Lazanin, any thoughts on this Pokemon? Are fears well-founded? Is it everything is okay?
I mean, you remember what I said.
A long sigh
is
always
right?
A good start.
You remember what I said.
Yes.
I do not like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think now seeing the ult, it makes it sound even worse.
Oh, good.
I sure hope that you can't hide objective HP with that. I sure would love to get Rayquaza flipped on me while I can't see his HP bar. Wouldn't that be awesome? That would definitely be a thing. I don't know. It's either going to be undertuned and is going to grief a lot of ranked games because people want to play it. Or it's going to be hilariously overpowered and it's going to grief a lot of pro games.
Yeah, one or the other. All right. Well, I think, is there any last like big PTS change that you can think, anybody can think of that we should talk about?
No, I'm good with that one.
Okay, sick. Last rapid fire question I want to ask everybody. One Pokemon from Generation 9 from Scarlet Violet, who makes it into Unite first? Everybody's pick. Ender, I know you've been playing a lot of Scarlet Violet. Do you have a choice right out the front?
If you were to ask me right now, it's probably Arbeliva. I've been in love with that Pokemon.
Okay, really, really I like cool, the Arbeliva. Unique. A support, I'm assuming, is what
yeah,
you wanted to ask?
Yeah, or Arbeliva.
Okay. I think a ranged attacker could work, but just the support of Kit would make a lot of sense, especially with the Grassy Surge-esque ability. I like that a lot. Lazadin, have you been playing any Scarlet Violet? Any thoughts on the new generation of Pokemon to bake it in? Oh yeah, chat, shout out as well. Thank you, thank you.
I have absolutely loved it. It has been super, super fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the obvious one is Tinkaton.
Okay. Just put Poppy in Unite. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Give it the ultimate too. Why not?
Yeah.
And then besides that, I'm a Skeledirge lover. I love that boy.
Skeledirge is really, really cool. Did you see that tweet about someone who like the design of Skeledirge's face is like a concert arena from a bird's eye view?
Yo.
It's so cool. Like, if you look at the top of Skeletor's head, and then the, like, bird sings on, like, the secondary stage, it's very cool. Very cool tweet. You should definitely look into it. Dupes next. Gen 9. You can't say Pelipper, even though it's in this game. A different Pokemon.
Yeah, so Ender and I have been on the same wavelengths here. I'm going to go with Arbeliva, which evolves from, of course, Smoliv, and Olive is my daughter's name. So I've been all about that Pokemon as soon as it was announced. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Okay, cool. Yo, Plasmer in chat actually just took the words out of my mouth. I was gonna say Palmot because you get the revive move. Only two.
No, 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 no.
Yes, get a revive. Let's go. Yes, I know our MOBA lovers in this chat are terrified. Yes, it might be a little bit too strong. I thought it would be rather cool. No, if anything, I think Annihilape would be so fun. Give me Annihilape and give him Tryndamere's ultimate. Give him the just undying, insane last bit of fever damage. Would be so fun. I would really, really enjoy Annihilape in the game.
Give him a bit an ability with percent of your own missing HP damage.
Yes. Oh my gosh, he'd be more troll than Garchomp, but he'd be so fun. Be a big fan. Okay, well, awesome. That is going to wrap the show up. Let's get a quick round of socials from everybody so they know where to find you. Doosnacks, what is those socials?
Come on, @DoobSnacks, DoobSnacks
Sick.
on the Twitter sphere, but follow @UniteMikes. That's what's important.
Of course, Ender.
Ender on Twitch, Ender Unite on Twitter. But yeah, Ender everywhere you can find me.
Perfect. The lovely Lazadin.
Lazadin1 on Twitter, Lazadin11 on Twitch.
Sick.
And of course, Ascended Unite for my team. I will say that Project Ascension is just around the corner.
Oh, sick. Can't wait for that trailer when it drops. All right, I am Zoinkcast on Twitter, but of course follow everything Unite Mics here on Twitch. On the Spotify feed, we are Overdunk everywhere where you can find us, leave a review, all that good stuff. Last thing, of course, we need to shout out Unite Mics Mayhem Season 2 Finals kicks off tomorrow night. We have She's from Brazil. We have, of course, a Clash from South America. We have, of course, our resident Ender here as well playing for Team TTV, and Ascended is also going to be playing in that final tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can help out with a GoFundMe to help boost that prize pool if you would like to support. You can find that on our Twitter or in chat here, !! Prize pool. But that being said, I'm going to close out the show there. Everybody, thank you for joining Unite Mics here tonight. I have been Zoinks. They have been the rest of the hosts. And this has been Overdunk. We will see you all next week for episode 50, which is going to be something fun and special. We haven't decided yet. We'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.